Mama told me, son, it won't go away. That old heartache, it won't stop the rain. Please just try, boy. Just find the Lord. If you can hear him say, cry now, let it wash away. You've been a lost child, and I hope you find your way. I know it hurts, boy, but he'll heal all your wounds. If you can hear him say,
voice. Well, just a few short years ago, the man who possesses that voice was a pudgy, white, Alabama accountant. Believe it or not, he's still white and he's still pudgy, but he's now, as you can tell, a magnificent soul singer, and he's a real force of nature on stage. He calls his band St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and I'm guessing he might not be a saint, but he plays tomorrow afternoon at the Jazz Aspen Labor Day Festival. And you are out of luck, dear listener, if you do not already have a ticket in hand, because that show is sold out. And I would advise Nathaniel Ratliff, who follows him, and Keith Urban to bring their A games, because this guy could very well upstage them. Well, hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nestler. The No Man's Land Film Festival, born and bred in Carbondale, is 3 years old this year, so you might be forgiven for not knowing that there's a pun inherent in their name. This is an adventure film festival of, by, and for women. And it comes to Carbondale in 2 short weeks. And here to tell us about it are one of the founders, Aisha Weinhold. Hi, Aisha.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Express Yourself.
Thank you.
Also joining us by telephone is Catherine Appel, one of the featured filmmakers. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Luke. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm happy that you joined us. Thank you. Aisha, let's start with you. The mission of your organization, which is right on your website, which, by the way, is nomanslandfilmfestival.org, states that to redefine femininity in adventure, spirit, culture, and conservation through film is your mission. Tell me more about that.
Yes, that's correct. So we actually just distilled it down to what where we're redefining feminine within the last year. And what that means to us is really that you can show up as a woman in whatever discipline you're in, whatever avenue of life you're pursuing, that you can show up unapologetically however you want, whether you want to have a shaved head, whether you want to wear black, whether you want to wear lipstick. That doesn't make you any less capable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I read that you wanted to show up for the revolution in lipstick, a well-worn fleece, and cowboy boots.
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
How about that? But no gun?
No gun.
Really?
Not today.
How are you going to do that?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Just by being a woman, I guess,
I
right?
I guess so, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if you're finding it difficult or more difficult as a woman these days, given the political and social mm-hmm. landscape, expressing yourself in the outdoors. Is it harder or is it more compelling?
You know, there's more conversation around it for sure. And I think that with the current political climate, we are seeing louder voices around really just gender issues and gender equality. And I think it's a little more daunting. And definitely with the recent election, I had a moment where I was like, you know, people actually don't care about women's rights. People don't care about gender issues, gender inequality, not to mention all of the other issues that exist in the world. And so it's been enlightening and also inspiring to continue to pursue this path and actually see the people who are making change in the industry, in the outdoor industry, and then also in the larger world with women.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And does that go hand in hand with conservation too?
Yeah, we do have a strong environmental message. And living here in Carbondale, it's so easy to pair those two because you play outside and our public places are so important to us because you lose those and you can't play anymore. And so we really try and emphasize that through all of our films and through all of our programs, just as a reminder that one doesn't come without the other.
Huh, so this is your third No Man's Land Film Festival.
Yep.
Is it getting easier?
Oh, man, I don't know. I thought it would, and then we were like, 3 years, let's do 4 days.
Ooh.
So it could have been easier, but it's not.
How many films do you have this year?
We have 45 films this year.
Really? Mm-hmm. And it's not just films, is it?
No, this year we have film programs every night. We have an earlier one at 5:30 and then the same program showing again at 7:30. But this year we also have a pitch fest, which is an opportunity for female filmmakers to come pitch their film ideas to a panel of judges. And
ooh.
And this year Five Point is sitting on the board and also Deuter Backpacks, which is exciting. And so that's on Thursday. And then we have a film program. But on Friday and Saturday, we have world-renowned female athletes and activists coming to speak, to lead workshops, photography workshops, art workshops, give presentations, speak on panels about environmentalism and women in the media. So it's going to be engaging.
And a lot of the events are spread between, I noticed, Steve's Guitars, the Launch Pad, and the Crystal Theater.
Exactly.
Right in downtown Carbondale.
I know, we made it.
Are men welcome to come to this?
All genders are welcome. We encourage everyone to come.
Nice. That's great. Catherine, I'd like to know about your film, My Desolate Eden. Very well written. Yeah. It's real poetry, if you ask me. And I'm wondering about the genesis of the film. Did it start with those wonderful words by your star and writer?
It did. It very much did. She does wonders with words. And I had the opportunity to go canyoneering with her about a year prior to shooting the film. And it was right when she was kind of discovering her passion for canyons. And as a good friend of hers, I was watching her kind of transformation and watching as she really kind of went full in into this new passion. And reading a lot of the words she would write just on social media and captions for photos, I was so moved. And I've been in talks with her for a while on collaborating on a personal project. And this just seemed like the right fit. And visually, I knew that I wanted this to kind of be an ode, like a visually poetic ode to slot canyons and kind of showcasing the beauty in these desolate places. And her words worked so well and kind of in tandem with the visuals. And we built out the kind of, you know, the story really from there. And her father, you know, all of that kind of unfolded in the last year. And it was extraordinarily, heartbreaking and unfortunate. But she, it was something that she really wanted to, I guess, explore and discuss in the film. So that felt like a outlet for her to, I think, process a lot of the emotions and a lot of what she was kind of personally working through.
Well, there are a lot of nice elements to the film, but I think that the emotional part that you just talked about is what gives it its heft and its force and its power. And to play that against the desolate Eden is, I think, a masterstroke. It's a really nice combination of both things.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm wondering, you know, the film is 6 minutes and 24 seconds long. I guess it's the final cut, at least what I saw it was. I'm guessing, though, that there's many, 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 many hours behind it making a 6 minute film. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. How long did it take to make it and put it together?
We shot it over, the majority of it we shot over the course of 3 days. In Utah, and then we did a day or two of kind of some pickup shots once the rough cut had been assembled, and I kind of knew what shots I needed to really complete the visual story. And then those time lapses were actually shot by Danny Brown, who's an extraordinarily talented Aspen photographer and filmmaker, and so. I have to give credit to him for the beautiful time lapses.
Well, I wanted to talk about those time lapses because to me it adds a certain majestic quality to the proceedings. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Koyaanisqatsi.
I have not.
Well, it was made by a Hopi gentleman back in the maybe 70s or 80s. Godfrey Reggio was his name. He got funding from Francis Ford Coppola to make this film that has absolutely no narration or dialogue. It's all landscapes and also cityscapes as a contrast, and much of it is time-lapse, and there's an elegiac quality to things when you see a landscape like what you put in your film and do the time lapse about that. How does a time lapse get photographed? How does that work technically?
So technically, you would kind of set up your camera on a tripod, or in the instance of what you saw on screen, a lot of those are motion controlled time lapses. So there's actually a slider set up in addition to this contraption that can move the camera angle slowly as it moves across a slider. So there's a lot of different kind of mechanics that go into that. But for just a regular general time lapse, you would set up your camera with what's called an intervalometer, and then you would select how many shots, how often you want it to take a photo. So you could take one photo an hour if you really wanted to, or you could take one every 10 seconds, one every 2 seconds, and you can plug all that information in and then let it run its course.
So if you're taking shots one every 10 seconds or so, whatever, that means the final product is moving fast. Is that right? Is that how that works?
Yes. At the end of the day, you can always speed up the time lapses as well. It's definitely an art that I'm still honing in on, in terms of because I did not shoot those time lapses myself, so
right.
I'm very much still kind of growing and learning in that capacity. But visually, it will look different if you're shooting something at 10 seconds versus every minute. But sometimes, like if you're shooting a cloud or landscape time lapse, you don't want to do it too often, or else you don't really see very much. It takes a lot longer to see the change.
Huh? And the nighttime sky, the stars, same thing.
Yes, you would do a lot longer exposure for that.
Well, I'm really delving into that because that's one of the elements, besides the incredibly great writing and the really nice cinematography that ties it all together, that really struck me. Is this your first film, Catherine?
This is, yeah, my first, I guess, bigger personal project.
How about that? I checked out your website and I kind of paged through your portfolio and I saw a lot of great photos, but this is your first film. And so this showing at the No Man's Land Film Festival in 2 weeks is the world premiere.
It is.
How about that? Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm looking very forward to it.
Are you happy with how it turned out?
I am. I'm very pleased with it, and I was, you know, blessed to have an extraordinarily supportive team. And you know, I did this without, you know, out of my own pocket. So I was blessed to have a handful of friends that were that stood behind the idea, and you know, are crazy enough to come along and help me out along the way, because I definitely wouldn't have been able to do it alone or without the incredible team and support that I ended up having for the shoot weekend.
Talk a little bit about, the lady's name escapes me, the star. Oh, Audrey McLaughlin. Talk a little bit about Audrey, if you would.
She is, I guess I don't want to use curse words on video.
She's effing awesome.
She is a rock star. She's a real rock star. And she, her and I are very different in many ways, but we really bonded over sports and skiing, and we were learning this. We learned to skateboard together, and we really push each other in a really kind of, what I think, healthy, good kind of competitive way, where we could really push each other to keep pushing ourselves. And so I'm definitely blessed to have her as a friend of my life, and it's been, yeah, wonderful to see her really dive into this new passion in sport.
So pushing each other, is that something that women need to do in this arena? Is that how you guys can succeed?
Yes.
I think the girls.
The importance of realizing that you can be independent and that you don't need a man to do everything for you. And, I mean, you know, in full disclosure and fairness, yes, our safety coordinator, the one who did all of the rigging for us, was a man. But there are, you know, many women who could do that job as well. And I think so often women get into the mindset that, you know, there's things you can't do without men, or there's things you can't do yourself. But, you know, realizing that that's not the case, and learning, taking the time to learn how to do these things and to be proficient and confident in it, I think, is really important.
So much of adventure films hinge on the adrenaline rush. I wonder if adrenaline and estrogen together are different than adrenaline and testosterone.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know.
Aisha, you could chime in on that too.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a difference, and I think that's one of the beautiful qualities of having estrogen and adrenaline. Is there, what I found, there are some films that are purely adrenaline that have women crushing and skiing lines bigger than anyone else has ever skied, and climbing harder routes, and it runs the whole gamut. But I think what I found really, really incredible is when you add in a female aspect, a lot of times, like you see in Catherine's film, there's this incredible story element and this, it sounds cliche, but this deeper connection to the place or to the experience, which I think ultimately lends to a more powerful audience experience.
Well, I wonder if it's easier for women to access that soul element of being on the land in the wilderness than it is for men.
I mean, it's Mother Nature, so someone thought so.
Well said. That's great. Well, let's talk a little bit more, Aisha, about the programs involved. Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the other programs that you're featuring and the other filmmakers. And then also, I guess you've got some lectures and workshops happening, too.
We do. So for the film program, another film that I'm really excited about is called The Honeymoon is Over, and that's featuring Madeline Sorkin and Henna Taylor, who are both coming to the event. It's about climbing Long's Peak, or climbing the diamond on Long's Peak, which, if you're a rock climber, you know is heinous and hard, and the approach is terrible. And so it's just this really amazing story. And as a rock climber, as not being a rock climber, I hope that people will still understand just the strenuousness of this route and of this accomplishment. But with the programming in general, what I'm really excited about this year, one is just the sheer amount of films. The first year we did it, I spent 2 years looking for content and came up with 1.5-hour program. And this year, we're turning away submissions, but I think the coolest part is there is racial and ethnic diversity in the films, which is something that I have yet to see until this year. So one, we have women making adventure films and sport films and doing an incredible job. And two, they're not all white women, which is, I love white women. I love all women, but it's awesome.
That is awesome. How about that? Mm-hmm. Is that, I mean, I'm thinking you might be referring to that, the skateboarders?
Yeah. So there's a film called Brujas, which I believe the director is from Colorado. But it's a film about this female skateboarding group from New York City who skates together. And we just, the program's so good this year. I'm so excited. And usually I'll watch the films and I'll watch them enough because you end up watching them over and over. And by the end, you're like, okay, I love them, but like, I don't want to watch them. And these ones, I'm so excited to see everyone again.
I can see the stoke in your eyes. Oh. Yeah, it's just blazing.
Oh, man, I can't
And I
wait.
Can hear it in Catherine's words, too. Yeah, that's great. Tickets are on sale, I'm assuming.
Tickets are on sale. And the way that we have it broken down right now, and this is new, so forgive me if I don't explain it well, but basically the way that a day is formatted is you get free yoga and coffee in the morning, and then there's workshops or panels all day, and then there's some kind of music or something, and then there's the films in the evening. And so if you want to participate in that, that's a $35 pass for all of that, for Friday and Saturday. Well, $35 for Friday,
day.
$35 for Saturday.
Right.
If you just want to go to the films, it's $15 a night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how do people get tickets?
You can go to our website, nomanslandfilmfestival.org.
Uh-huh.
And right now, that's the only way. We will be selling tickets out the door. It's at the Crystal this year. In the past, we haven't had any tickets to sell at the door, so get them.
Nice, yeah. So yeah. Do you expect to sell out?
I hope so. I hope so. We have the past 2 years, and this is definitely a new format, so I don't really know what to expect this year.
And Catherine, you are not only premiering your film, but you have a presentation during the day. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that before I let you go.
Yes, I am just going to be, you know, sharing a bit about my adventure filmmaking experience thus far. And I'm looking really, really forward to it.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of what's going on, too. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from 13 yesterday.
13 days.
How about that?
Yes.
And counting.
So exciting.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I want to thank you both for joining Express Yourself today and telling us about the No Man's Land Film Festival.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Catherine.
Yes, thank you so much for having us today. It was lovely chatting with you.
Likewise. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
All right, it is 4:24, and you are tuned to the Express Yourself show. Stay with us. More to come. We'll be right back. We're back. If you just joined us, it's the Express Yourself show here on KDNK. I'm Luke Nessler, and let's talk about a few things going on. It's First Friday, September already. Goodness gracious. There's a lot going on. It's the Carbondale Creative District Art Walk around town on this First Friday. Crystal Glass has the final week of Locals Gallery, and you can name your price for the pieces that are showing there. There's the grand opening of a new store on Main Street in Carbondale called Handmaker, dedicated to children and the arts. Majid Kahak is going to be doing a live painting with an Indian summer theme. The Roadside Gallery open till 7 with free postcards and candy over there. Susan's Flowers also showing a lot of Carbondale artists' pieces. Strange Imports open again. As always, Carbondale Arts, it's the last day or maybe two of the Paul Manis show that's happening there. Go check that out. The True Nature Healing Arts has a 5:45 drum circle and a kids' mini fair after that over at the Marble Distillery. It's a block party with Slow Groovin'. Oh, that one, that block party in association with Carbondale Clay, including Slow Groovin' food truck and live music from Louie and the Lizards. At Carbondale Clay, the show is a visual history, 20 years of clay and community. Also live music at the other end of Main Street at the Beer Works with Hell Roaring String Band until 9 o'clock and the Davenports until midnight.
September
8th. We are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
Carbondale, are you ready?
We love it.
KDNK
presents Ladies Arm Wrestling.
September
8th at 10 p.m. at Fat Thai Restaurant.
See which broad brings home the glory.
And I whipped her pretty well.
She's not wrestling anymore.
Croatian princess.
Croatian princess.
Well, if you have a Mediterranean mama.
I went into the zone.
It's clear Carbondale's ready for another round of rowdy empowerment at the arm wrestling table.
What about the man auction?
And there's a costume contest?
The costumes and the characters, you never know what you're going to get.
Looking forward to the pounding, drinking, and shouting this
Friday, night. September.
8 at 10 p.m. Ladies Arm Wrestling.
Get Fat Thai Carbondale.
Well, I've heard that promo many times already, and I just love it, and I grin and giggle every time, but that's the first time I've ever listened to that with headphones, and there's a lot to it. It's really a great job by Cody and Social on that promo. Well, that Ladies Arm Wrestling a week from tonight over at Fat Thai, and that's concluding the last part of the Early Bird membership drawing. And we have, as part of that, a premium for those who have already joined as Early Bird members, or if you want to call now and pledge your support and join up now, you can snag yourself two tickets to Bonobo at the Belly Up next Wednesday. So call 963-0139 and you can snag those tickets. Those Bonobo tickets, two tickets up for grabs for Early Bird members. Call us 963-0139. Okay, there's somebody calling, but you need to call 963-0139 to snag those tickets. Well, if you're lucky, you have friends that can sit around that you can sit around with and talk about music. Surely that's a pleasure, and it might even be a passion. What you're about to hear is the third music meeting, and it's a charming one. Here we are, music meeting number 3. Yay!
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Cody Lee joining me. Hey, Cody.
Hey, what's up, Luke?
Pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic.
And Gavin Dahl is here, too. Hi, Gavin.
Oh, man, I'm so glad to sit down for another music meeting. This is like one of the things I look forward to most at KDNK.
Well, what do you have this time for us, Gavin?
I think you guys know that I have quite the rock star crush on Erica Ryan. She is the a singer-songwriter, dreamy cowgirl from Larkspur, Colorado, and we were so happy to bring her to the Roaring Fork Valley for our Hootenanny with the Heathens back on August 11th, and it was her first ever gig in the Roaring Fork Valley. This is one of her original tunes called Find a Way to Me.
Never expected to live very long. Just figured I'd wander till I died all alone. I never made plans for when I grow old, but now sweet lover on the high plains, just east of the Rocky Mountain Way. I know times have been hard and I'm sorry, my love, but will you find a way to me after the flood? Your seeds in the ground before the snow, 'cause I wanna be there to watch it all grow. Oh, my sweet lover on the high plains, just east of the Rocky Mountain Way. I know times have been hard and I'm sorry, my love, will you find a way to me after the flood? Ooh, 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 ooh. Just hope nothing's broken and nothing's been lost. 'Cause if you'll have me, I'm yours for the rest of my time. But if not, leave me under the winter eye. Oh, my sweet lover on the high plains, just
Erica Ryan, Find a Way to Me. And her name is spelled E-R-I-K-A-R-Y-A-N-N. And she has some stuff up on bandcamp.com. She is working on her first full-length album. And it's just so fun when we in the community radio space get to, you know, sort of learn about these up-and-coming young artists, and particularly Colorado artists. And then it's just amazing how many Katie and K DJs have sort of fallen for her, you know, her voice and then the accompaniment with the pedal steel. And it was just such a thrill to get to have her on stage at the Hootenanny. And I was really getting chills, you know, for certain vocal parts in those songs. You just kind of, Oh, man, they just hit you.
She's a really, really good singer.
Yeah, very soulful. Dreamy indeed. And I love the pedal steel with it. And I told you guys I noticed at the concert I could see them looking at each other like they knew exactly when to throw in the little nuances of the pedal steel. I thought it was really good stuff.
She also knew exactly what to say, because did you remember when she's on stage, she said, "I've been tuning into KD&K just about every day, and all the DJs, they have such great taste in music. I love this station."
So I agree.
She knows what to say.
Yeah, we do have really good taste in this station. But, you know, I think she also is one to watch because she is interested. If you look at her, the covers that she does, she's interested in some of the real important artists in sort of the alt country space, you know, whether you're talking about Townes Van Zandt or, you know, the old school Emmy Lou. And I just feel like she has a bit of a haunted quality that keeps it interesting. It's just so not Nashville pop, you know.
Yeah, she's done her digging for the gems.
Right, right. And yeah. And then also, you know, she actually is a rancher. I mean, she works with animals, you know, in the country, and she tends to horses, and she's a real deal cowgirl. It's not just a hipster thing, you know.
So where did she learn to sing?
You know, I interviewed her, and she said she started singing when she was very little, and she first learned to play guitar with Beatles tablature. And so started off with Beatles songs and then kind of expanded from there.
Yeah, she has a really nice sense of melody.
Yeah.
But her singing is just drop-dead great.
Yes.
I mean, that's what hit me when I was just open-mouthed in front of her there on Friday.
Yeah, and I think she doesn't really need that much more of a band. I think that I can't wait to see more and more from her, but I think that she does a great job just on her own with her voice and her guitar.
It might be cool, though, to see what she does with the band.
Yeah.
Like balls to the wall, rock and roll.
Yeah.
I'll bet she's good at that, too.
Heck yeah.
She can certainly wail.
Yeah.
So what did you bring for this music meeting, Cody?
I brought Toussaint Morrison's album called Lesser Restoration. I had never heard of Toussaint Morrison before. And out of 52 CDs that week, this one track that we're going to listen to was the one thing I was listening to at my desk, and I was like getting my shoulders into it. It was so groovy. So it says that the one sheet says that the album speaks to the vulnerability of reconstructing your life after overwhelming loss and being black in a white space. And researching Toussaint, he seems like quite a Renaissance man. He has a degree in theater from the University of Minnesota. And so he's got a background in acting and dance and writing and slam poetry. He toured with a rock band for about 8 years. And now he has just released this album. I heard that this is just the first in a series of about two more albums that are to come. And I'm really looking forward to it. I really like this guy.
Baby Got's Venom. This seems to be the track that KD&K DJs are gravitating to.
Well, yeah. And when I listened to it the first time, I thought this has got to be, you know, one of the big pop songs that's going to hit the entire nation. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, he's truth-telling in this song.
Yes, and I think his rapping has really conscious lyrics. I would highly recommend checking out some of his videos on the internet, like Last Day of School that's on this album. I thought was just a really good production of the video with the music. So,
Toussaint Morrison, Baby Got's Venom.
Packed up the bottle, burned another down. It's time to see if my luck is any better in the next town. Scorned my lover, I wouldn't let her in. I got these walls that I built long ago when they're thick. I'm an exit, moments flow through me. Nobody's tool except my heart when it's pulling. I tried to cut it out once, but I couldn't find a blade sharp enough to cut through the walls I already made. There's no trouble in the discomfort of the act. It's the comfort in not letting you love me back. The fear of giving you a world you no longer want. A world that celebrates the light as much as the dark. My past sits with me. Most mornings at the breakfast table, next to an empty chair that sits next to bankroll, that sits next to the idea you can only dream careful, with sitting next to your worst fears and people you won't let go. I don't know who I am. Can't expect you to know. Let another burn. Right now I'm good. I'll figure out my luck in the next world. My lover's gone. The scorn was too much for her to understand. Scorn goes hand in hand with love. And I'm no yoga in the park. I'll take your ideals out for a good swing dance in the dark. You see, light's an illusion. She's deadly and gorgeous. And I only take direction from the local blind swordsman. If blood can coexist with the poison in my veins, then there's no wall that can't be given a door frame. I keep it locked, not to keep you out. Mama told me not to let a viper in the house. Baby got venom. I'm still a huckleberry. It's the vanity that makes the samurai wary. The jagged parts of my life are the only parts that I got. And they've made good for building a city around the heart. Be right and get what you want. Yeah. You want a sure thing and a pleasant surprise. I can't promise it all, but I'll give you good love and a full heart, cause you're the trap for some time.
He's a poet.
Yeah, that's Baby Got's Venom from Lesser Restoration, Toussaint Morrison.
It reminds me a little bit of Fantastic Negrito.
Oh, yeah.
In that sense of being real open to just telling the truth about himself.
And urban poetry with kind of a raw, funky, soulful sound.
Yeah, almost a little bit of a folk edge to it, which really adds a lot. I think it will invite more people in, you know, people who aren't necessarily hip-hop fans.
And that's funny you say that, Gavin, because in fact, there are two tracks on there that you would just call folk banjo music. He plays the banjo on a couple tracks on there. It's a really diverse music in this album.
Is he rapping behind the banjo?
No, he's singing with it, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's not all rap. It's singing, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool. Huh.
I would say some of it just sounded like straight hip-hop to me. Some of it was folk banjo, and some of it was soul R&B.
Really good stuff. Toussaint Morrison.
Out of Minnesota, you know? Who knew?
Yeah.
I guess Minnesota ain't Lily White no more.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think he counts Prince as an influence? It's kind of hard to tell on this.
I don't know, but I thought Minneapolis did have quite an eclectic scene, but it probably is. That's just my opinion, that it's probably mostly indie rock, but that's just my opinion.
I think some good hip-hop rhymesayers and some of that stuff out of there. So.
Oh, atmosphere, yeah. Right?
Atmosphere, what's the Brother Ali is from there?
Yep.
So is, well, what's her go. Name? Dessa. Mm-hmm. She's from Minnesota. Yeah. Obviously a thriving hip-hop scene in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Twin Cities. Well, I'm bringing to the table Raz Tyria. And did you know that she's part of the 1%?
You mean she's rich?
No, I mean that she's one. She's part of the 1% of people, women, who are producers and engineers.
Oh. Wow.
And she's got her her radical bona fides. She founded the Trufula Oaks Studios in San Francisco, and it's solar powered and it's barter based, and it's a place for low cost space for aspiring artists.
What a hero.
Yeah. And she's her roots are Dutch and Bolivian.
Wow.
And she's based in the Bay Area, and she her job title is songwriter. And she's part of a group of women, a collective of women in the arts in San Francisco called Empress Unification.
Wow. And she goes by Raz Tyria?
She does. Okay. Yeah. And on this project, which is just an EP that we got, just 6 tracks, but she traveled all over the world and recorded in Bolivia and in the Netherlands and in Canada and in San Francisco and pulled it all together under this new CD. As I said, it's an EP. The CD is called Cruzando, let's see, Cruzando Corazones, Where Hearts Collide. And this song that I chose is Agua de Camelo.
Love.
multi-genre, trilingual Razzeteria. Her real name, Renee Asteria.
Oh.
Nice, huh?
Thanks for bringing that one, Luke.
Loved it.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of genres in there. Reggae, a little bit of funk, obviously some Latin influence. Nice stuff.
Yes.
Razzeteria.
Almost an acid jazz feel.
Yeah. I wish it was a full CD. I hate EPs.
See, that,
is it called an EP though?
Yeah.
And I mean, like a lot of the new electronic music, people are putting out, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 songs at a time. For me, I like it that we don't have to wait so long for the next full length. That's why I'm in favor of EPs. It's enough to be worth putting out to DJs at KD&K, but it's not, you know, for a lot of these artists, they put a couple songs out, boom, distribute. You know?
Yeah, but then they get us all interested, and then it takes 2 years for the next one, and by then you've forgotten about them and how good the 6-song EP was. You know what I mean? If they're on top of it, I can dig that strategy.
Yeah, I think singles are sort of a way to like get a quick sell, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the time to make a full production, you know.
One thing I haven't heard a lot of in community radio is Afrobeat and Espanol. And so the whole idea of those kind of polyrhythms, of course, coming from an Afro-Latin root, you know, musically, but it's really awesome to hear a women-led Afrobeat, you know, funk jazz type outfit. I mean, we need more of it. So,
and what is that album has Latin tape, hip hop, and reggae, but it's even more dynamic than that. Every song is different.
And a lot of great performers on the record. I mean, you look through the credits, there are tons of people playing in instruments throughout her whole kind of collective vibe that she does. It seems like kind of a melting pot.
Well, if you missed any part of the third music meeting, go to kdnk.org. You'll see it right up there on the homepage. And if you missed the first two, they are up there too. You might have to scroll over to page 2 or even page 3, but they're there. They're also, you might find them also under the artist interview section of our website. Okay, before we go, let's talk about a few more things happening in our valley. You can connect with fellow illustrious weirdos. How about that? Over at the Visionary Summit in Paonia. It returns again this year with over 40 workshops, lectures, and live music this weekend. Guests this year include Tony Moss, Chris Dyer, Alaya Love, and Marty Luna, with live music from Plantray and Niceness. And you can get the details at 970-361-8293. Harold Pinter's The Dumb Waiter, which has won a slew of awards for the Sopris Theater Company, is the story of two hitmen trapped in a basement with orders to assassinate whomever walks through the door. The play comes to the New Space Theater at CMC Spring Valley for this weekend for 2 free encore performances, tonight and tomorrow night at 7. Also, all 6 branches of the Garfield County Libraries will close on Monday in observance of Memorial Day. And then the next day, all the libraries will reopen with new schedules, new hours at all 6 branches of the Garfield County Libraries. More information at gcpld.org. And one last mention, once again, a Carbondale contingent will join thousands from across the globe to perform a synchronized dance to Michael Jackson's Thriller. New and returning zombies are welcome to an informational meeting next Wednesday, 6 p.m. at the Carbondale Branch Library, and you can get more information at 963-2889. That's going to do it for today's show. Please remember to go out there and express yourself, and stay tuned for the news here on KD&K.